From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunchish, Hawa, Toyosik Newsom, Slamat, for joining the conversation. On today's show, we'll take a look at three major events happening this weekend. First up, Kicks to Cure JM, an event fundraiser happening at the Juno Karate Academy. It's raising awareness for a rare autoimmune disease, and it's happening on Saturday, August 24th. Then we'll chat with the folks from the upcoming Family Fish Camp. It's the fourth annual camp out at Eagle River United Methodist. It's this Saturday and Sunday. And finally, it's the CBJ Month of Play, and this Saturday it's Trucks and Stuff out at Diamond Park. Those conversations plus music and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinach John Martin, and the word this week is tsa'atl.
Sacht.
That means devil's club. And here's a sentence. It's like medicine when we see devil's club. Let's hear it again.
Sacht.
Devil's club. Ganesh Chisht Khune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Takdain Tan and a child of a Kaguantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk a yitin. Jin Katka ke jin talk, anakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday, a special event called Kick to Cure JM is happening at the Juno Karate Academy. And joining me now to discuss it a little bit further is Dominic Johnson and Addie Johnson. Thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio. Wasaiti, how's it going?
Going well. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Dominique. And Addie, how are you?
Good.
Okay. So let's start off first by defining, Dominique, what is JM for the listeners?
Yeah, JM is juvenile myositis. It's a rare autoimmune disease, which my daughter, Addie, was diagnosed with when she was around 3 years old.
Okay. And what does it mean, autoimmune disease?
It means her own immune system attacks its body. So her immune system attacks, for JM specifically, muscles, joints, and then skin as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, Addie, how old are you, first of all?
Six.
Oh, my goodness. That's such a great age. And so when did this start happening to you? Was it a little while ago? She's looking at dad. Maybe it was like a while back, or how long has it been happening?
She started having symptoms when she was three and was officially diagnosed when she was four.
I see. So how did it, can you describe for me, Addie, how did it feel when it first started happening? Was it like your muscles achy, or what was happening?
Well, I couldn't really walk and stuff.
So you couldn't walk. So you would wake up and maybe you couldn't get out of bed or something. Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of the things like my wife and I we share is when we go on family walks, we wouldn't be counting about how many miles we would do or even minutes. It was how many mailboxes she can make in the neighborhood because that's how weak her muscles were. And that's when we knew something was wrong.
Okay, so it really sort of attacks the muscles and mm-hmm. it weakens them.
Right, okay. Yes.
So are you able to, does it sometimes happen in your arms and stuff too, Addie?
Well, I think when she was in the process of being diagnosed, they did an MRI and there was muscle weakness within her legs and hips as well as her neck. Okay. And that's where the disease was attacking her body.
I see. So for other people, it might be different, right?
Right. Yeah. It attacks different muscles. Yeah. And that's when it gets really serious because it could attack the lungs and other muscles in the body.
I see. And so I know it's called juvenile myositis. So is this something that... does it go away as you age or no?
No, there's actually no cure for JM.
Okay.
It's a rare disease and only about 2 to 3 in a million are diagnosed with it worldwide. So this is a very small amount of people. It's a rare disease. And there's no cure. The only hope is for... just with the medical treatment that we can get through right now. And that's why we want to have this fundraiser for the Cure JM Foundation.
Yeah.
Is they're doing research to help find a cure.
So they want to find a cure, obviously.
Right.
And so this is something that Addie is going to be managing over the coming. Now, does it affect, because it's called juvenile, does it affect folks as young as Addie?
Yes.
Obviously it does,
right.
But I mean, is it normal for that to be happening?
Yeah. There's younger kids even that are diagnosed with the disease and they break it down by juvenile myositis versus myositis based on when you're diagnosed.
Okay.
So there is adults who are diagnosed with myositis later in life, but that's how they break it down.
I got you. Okay. And do they have any thoughts yet in the research of like how someone...
Not a whole lot. It just, sometimes you can be sick and your body just, the immune system attacks the sickness, and then it just doesn't turn off.
So this is like a rare genetic issue that is happening.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very rare disease. And that's, we want to be supportive of the Cure JM Foundation.
Of course.
Because they're leading that research because it is so rare and only affects a small population. There isn't a lot of federal funding for this disease research. So a lot of it's grassroots and the families that are affected by it.
You're saying that there's only like 2 or 3 million people in the world? That
It was only a few thousand people. It affects maybe 2 to 3 in a million children.
Oh, in a million. Oh, yes. I didn't hear. Oh, wow.
Yes.
So it is really rare.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So now what's interesting about this fundraiser that y'all are having on Saturday is that this is at a karate academy. It's called Kicks to Cure JM, which is kind of a fun name, don't you think, Addie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. Are you involved in the karate?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you do there? Do you do a class?
Yeah.
I see. Who's your teacher?
We have different teachers every time.
Okay, different teachers every time. Mm-hmm. And like, what's your favorite move? Do you have a favorite?
I like kicks and punches.
And what do you kick and punch? Are you using like beanbag, like bags, or what is it that you're punching?
We just do it.
Oh, I see. Like are you punching the air sometimes as you're all learning the moves?
Yeah, we also do pads.
Oh, pads. Okay. So somebody's the teacher's holding the pads and they're like, come on, Addie, hit it harder, hit it harder.
What belt are you?
Orange.
Orange. Okay. And what's the next belt? Do we know what the next belt is?
Red.
Red. Okay. Awesome. And so this is something that you really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When did you start? Do you know, like, has it been a long time?
Yeah, it's been about 2 years. The funny story is it was about a month after she was diagnosed with JM.
Yeah.
We signed her up for karate. My wife thought it was a little crazy to have a child who has a rare disease that attacks her muscles, but it was something I thought would help with her self-confidence, but also to keep her active. And it's been a great experience for her.
Yeah. How often do you go? Is it every certain times during the week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Different nights? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you going to be kicking and punching this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And are you all planning like a presentation or what's going to be happening?
Yeah, we're going to share a little bit about it, but we just want to have a fun community event to come together to just build a little bit of awareness about JM and bring the community together. there'll be some different events for kids. So if you're looking to get out of the rain this weekend, we're going to have board breaking competitions. There'll be a ninja course and a couple of the mats. We'll be doing some minute to kick challenges. There'll be limbo, cup stacking, some different fun events for the kids.
Awesome. Do you do the board breaking, Addie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fun, right? I like to see those videos when people, how many boards? Is it like one board and you punch through it or do you kick through it? Or do you do both?
We can do either.
Either. Okay. You can get to decide or you do it all different ways. And I heard something about ninjas in there. Do you like being a ninja?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of, you wear your robe, right? With the red, orange, right? You're orange right now. So your orange belt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And what do you wear on your feet? What do you wear? Do you wear shoes or do you wear like slippers?
We just wear bare feet.
You barefoot. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah, obviously, if you're kicking a board, I guess you don't want to have a shoe on there, right? You want to have that good contact point and like punch through it or kick through it. I like that. That's a lot. So you're going to have a lot of fun this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Dominique, is Addie have any compatriots here in Juneau or is she?
No, she's the only one that we know in Alaska.
In Alaska.
Yeah, so we've actually gone to one of the national conferences and have met some other children and families who have been affected. But yeah, it is a small handful of people who are affected by it.
I see. Have you connected with any adults who have the sort of the myositis as adults?
We've met some of the teenagers or college age students at some of the conferences. And it's been a good way to connect to and just kind of learn how they grew up with the disease and were able to overcome and
Or
living with it now.
So let's get to the details of this cool event. This is happening this Saturday, and it's August 24th, and it's starting at 9:30 in the morning, and it's going to be at the Juneau Karate Academy, which is in the Jordan Creek Center, which everybody knows where that is, out there by McDonald's and on that area there. And it's on that the sort of the McDonald's side of the mall, right? Is it one of those big rooms over there?
Yeah, one of the big rooms. Yeah, it's over by like the Breeze in there in the Valley, McDonald's, like you said. So just in the back, and they have a couple rooms there in the mall that are the Karate Academy. They have a few different mats over there, so we'll be taking over the whole Juneau Karate Academy area there in the Jordan.
Everyone
Creek.
Can see Addie and her orange belt kicking some stuff down. I love it. And how do people get involved? Is it open to anybody?
It's open to anybody. So if you're looking to try some different karate competitions or just check it out, you can go to Facebook and check out Kicks to Cure JM. There's also an Instagram page at Kicks2CureJM. Mm-hmm. We'll have the registration information and you can see a little bit more videos too about Addie's journey and just some of the other things going on with this event.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And I'll also put a link on the show notes for this episode of Juneau Afternoon at kto.org/JuneauAfternoon. And people can click through it there. But the best thing to do is probably hit Facebook and find that link there.
Right. Yeah. And we have some great prizes too, because some of the local donors here in town from the businesses and sponsors. We have a couple $100 gift certificates from Cycle Alaska. We have some movie passes from Gross Alaska. And then we have it's Ice Cream Juneau Truck. We'll be there from 11 till noon selling ice cream, and some of the proceeds going to the Cure JM Foundation too.
I love that. That is so good. And Addie, what do you do for fun besides karate?
I do soccer.
Soccer? That's also fun. Were you in is it like a summer league or is it at school? Where do you do soccer at?
Yeah, the city Parks and Rec.
City Parks and Rec. And is it all done or are you still playing soccer right now? She's checking with that.
Yeah, I think we have one more game. So
one more game. Still going. what is it? Do you know, is it the positions? Are you a goalie or are you on the line? Do you know what position you play?
We do all of them.
Okay, so everybody gets to rotate.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Goalie.
Everybody wants to be. Do you wear the big gloves and stuff?
No.
Or sticky gloves so you can catch the ball? No. You just grab it. Yeah, that's so good. And are you, what grade are you in?
First.
First grade. Okay. So you're going into first grade this year. This year, right? Yeah. Wow. That's so exciting for you. I love that. That's really great. And how can we continue to follow Addie's journey besides the karate competition? Is there something that you want to put out there about that, Dominique?
Yeah, we'll just be sharing some different things along on the Instagram page for the at Kicks2KierJM, ways to donate and just keeping up with her story. And if there's any other fundraisers in the future, we'll be keeping things updated there.
I see. Okay. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Addie. It's really a nice, great pleasure to meet you.
Say thank you for having us.
Yeah. And so it is the Kicks to Cure JM. It's a fundraiser for junomyositis, which is a rare autoimmune disease and that causes the body to attack itself. It's going to be happening this weekend at the Juno Karate Academy. And I want to ask you, Addie, do you say karate or karate?
Karate.
Okay, I was wondering. So it's the Juno Karate Academy. It's at the Jordan Creek Center. And for registration information, the best thing to do is go to Facebook and just search Kicks to Cure JM.
Yes.
Because that's happening right here in Juno. And there's all kinds of competitions and everything else happening, plus prizes.
Yeah, some great prizes.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Dominique. And thank you, Addie, for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, Gunath Cheese for being here. Bit of community news. Dog sledding is an iconic piece of Alaska history, from its roots in Alaska Native culture to the Klondike Gold Rush to the Iditarod. It has stood the test of time. And today it's taken on a new form to help it survive: excursions for the ever-booming cruise ship tourism industry. But in the summertime, in Juneau's temperate rainforest, where are the dogs? As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, it starts with a helicopter.
As we take off from Douglas Island, the green rainforest that engulfs downtown Juneau quickly turns to white, and the cruise ships in the Gastineau Channel fall out of view. Soon, we're in Juneau's ice field. Home to over 1,000 glaciers, it stretches across 15,000 square miles of mountain terrain between Juneau and British Columbia. Looking down, all you can see is the blue of glaciers weaving through the dark mountains and white patches of snow. But there's something else out there, too. As the helicopter moves closer, it looks like there's a bunch of ants in the snow. Closer still, and the ants kind of look fluffy. But then you hear it. It's the Norris Glacier Dog Sledding Camp. Each year from late April through mid-August, nearly 200 dogs from all over the U.S. live on the glacier. It's located 3,000 feet above sea level. The camp has existed for more than 20 years, and everything there is flown up and down by helicopter, including the dogs.
For Alaska, it's kind of what the cowboy is for the American West, is mushing. The difference is we still are doing this.
That's Josie Teer. She's the camp's manager, a professional musher, and owns 27 of the dogs at the camp. For most of the year, she's based in Fairbanks. Last year, she finished her first ever Iditarod, the iconic 1,000-mile trek from Anchorage to Nome. Now, her team is training for her second.
These dogs are athletes, and so we want to keep them moving. And so having them moving and the shape that they're in after coming off the glacier, I think, makes a big difference in how they perform in the wintertime.
Right now, she's building her team and figuring out which pups have what it takes to go the distance. They test this by training. Josie's husband, JJ Shelley, selects 10 dogs, with names like FIFA and Seabiscuit, and hooks their harnesses up to a multi-person sled. As they get lined up, some dogs are borderline screaming in anticipation, while others are jumping up and down.
Ready? All right.
Riding down the trail, JJ says training in cold places like the ice field is crucial to keeping dogs in shape during the hot summer months. He says it also serves as a way for mushers to maintain a steady income during the summer via the tours they give to people who visit the camp. In recent years, mushing has become more and more expensive.
People do ask us, Phil, the big question of, you know, if these guys are running over 100 miles a day, what are they eating? The answer is my wallet. They eat about $30,000 worth of food every year.
Even in April of this year, race organizers for the Iditarod said financial woes like growing inflation, loss of sponsors, and declining revenue could threaten the race's future. That's why JJ says more and more mushers are turning to tourism.
The mushing community in general is very reliant on tourism for, that's how we make our money. So we do tours here in the summer from late April to late August. And then we go do tours in Fairbanks when people come and visit there. So we rely on it for dog food, money, and all that stuff, and race entry fees and everything. I mean, this is how we make our living.
According to websites online, dog mushing tours on the ice field run between $600 and $700 per person. But for people like Cindy Spencer, it was worth every penny. She traveled to Alaska from Colorado to celebrate her 60th birthday.
Well, it was actually on my list to go to Alaska. That was on my live list. And so I asked my girlfriends if they would be up for it. And they're like, heck yeah. And we kind of chose things that we all wanted to do. And dog sledding was one of them.
On a typical day during the heart of tourism season, about 150 people are flown up to take a tour and visit the camp. Jack White is the tour manager for North Star Helicopters, the company that flies people up to the camp. He says many of the people who do the trip call it an experience they'll never forget. It's also a way to get people out of downtown Juneau during the congested summer months. But for the dogs, it's just another day in the office. Their office just happens to be up in the mountains on a giant hunk of ice. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and I wonder, what are you doing with your family this weekend? Well, if Darren and Victoria have anything to say about it, you're going to be at the 4th Annual Juneau Family Fish Camp. Gwyneth Cheese for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Oh, it's okay, Gwyneth Cheese.
Yeah, Gwyneth Cheese, okay. Yeah, how are you, Darren?
Very good. Thank you so much, Boston.
Okay, so this is a really exciting thing, and it's put on, it's like a collaboration, right? Tell us a little bit about the collaboration.
Well, it started a long time ago.
Yeah, where do we start?
Working with UAF, Cooperative Extension, learning about all of the wonderful resources that they have that's accessible to all, not just, you know, to 4-H people, but to the whole community. And that is how Darren and I started to network together through Gold Belt Heritage Foundation. Again, recognizing the awesome resources and the partnership of, again, sharing the cultural story of this land. And so, again, having Darren as a partner who also believes in sharing this wonderful knowledge, and couldn't ask for a better partner.
That's great. I know you were sort of joking there at the beginning, in a long time ago, and I was going to say in a land not too far away, just right outside, right? Just right here. So, and I know people hear UAF Cooperative Extension and they think of Fairbanks, but it is something that happens here in Juneau, these programs, Darren.
Yeah, very much. So throughout Southeast Alaska, actually, out of our office here in Juneau, we also have an office in Sitka, but my colleague, Sarah Lewis, and I serve all of Southeast Alaska with these different programs. And it's always our goal to identify the needs in the communities and meet those needs. And the best way is through partners such as Victoria with Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and others who are of the land and have been here forever and know the people and can work with us to really just trying to, as she was saying, kind of mesh what we have to offer in ways that are culturally relevant and are going to hit the mark with all of our families, native and non-native alike, to do these really just fun and interesting and great things to learn about. And this one, we're focusing on fish because tis the season.
Yeah. Well, let me get the details out of the way. I'm going to get into the specifics of this particular camp. It's this Saturday and Sunday. And I do want to mention it's still open for registration. So it's not too late. If you want to find a fun activity for your family this weekend, it's August 24th and 25th. And you can find out more. Is the best way this link right here, the bit.ly? Is that the best way? So there's a great easy link. It's bit.ly/2024JunoFamilyFishCamp. So tell us about that. Like, who are you looking for to come to this camp?
Families.
Yeah.
Whole families. Even uncles and aunties, you know, how important it is to be able to work together. You know, you think a long time ago when families would go to fish camp, we'd go as a group. We would harvest what we needed for the season and all the wonderful things that come out from that one day or that weekend adventure together that bonds us even stronger. And I believe that's what we need here in Juneau is to start developing our relationships and getting familiar with one another the way that our ancestors did.
Awesome. And the daily activity of it. So it's Saturday and Sunday. What are the hours that people would be going to this?
We are having it for the first time out of these for this fourth year. We had been and look forward to being back at Auntie's house there, the Juneau, Clickett, and Haida Community Council facility there in Lemon Creek. But they are under renovation, and we're able to develop more of our partnership with the Eagle River United Methodist Camp out the road near Eagle River. And so that's where we're having it. And we're able to get things started there at 3:00 in the afternoon on Saturday, the 24th. Something that may be different than what you may think of as a fish camp where we would be catching fish. We're not going to be actually catching fish. The fish will already be there and ready to be processed. We're going to be welcoming folks right at 3:00 there or kind of whenever you can make it. You know, if you can't make it right at 3, then come on when you can. We're going to be active until 8 p.m., including a lot of cutting up the fish and a lot of just different activities around brining it and jarring it. Honestly, the smokehouse is going to be going through the evening. Our official time is 3 to 8 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're going to get things going back again. And, we'll be there from, 10:00 until I think we designated probably about a 3:00 or so finish time. And you may notice that there would be some meal times in there. And so we're actually going to be serving meals as well. So it's an opportunity for people to bring a potluck item if you'd like for that dinner on Saturday. Otherwise, we're going to be cooking up a storm and serving folks up. And that's why we need registration to know how many people to expect.
So register in advance,
yes,
right?
Yeah, please, yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah, that's so the best way to do it.
Even though we're giving you place and time right now, you need to register so that we know to expect you, please.
I love that. And Victoria, will you teach us the Tlingit word for salmon?
Hot.
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 Hot. Awesome. Hot. Yeah. That's so great. And I think we're doing Tlingit Word of the Week here at KTO now. And I think we might have had that, might have been one of the first ones we had a couple weeks back. I don't know when it started, but it was like a month or two ago now. And so there's also going to be some discussions, right, about how we work with the land and how we're being on the land. And tell us a little bit more about that, Victoria.
Well, again, our partnership is to share the place, you know, the people of the land and how their thoughts and ideas of being taking care of their resources, which is, again, salmon is a huge resource for the Tlingit people, along with Alaska in general. So I guess if anything, we want to help people to regain that respect for salmon again in another cultural lens, you know, to maybe share a story about Salmon Boy or even to talk about Salmon Boy. Or we might share a story about Bear and the agreements with the salmon people, which is, again, something that really relates to humans. Because we too make agreements with nature. We make agreements to each other. And it's only to help us prosper and grow together. And so, again, these stories share more than just the image of bear and salmon, but metaphorically, it's sharing more.
Oh, I love that so much. And I think this is this partnership that you have engaged in, because I know you were here a few months back for another event that you had together, but I feel like that the, and I know we also just had the huge cultural education conference of learning how to take indigenous teachings and ways and incorporate that into education systems. And I really love the layering of that together, right? With the what you might do with your family. And if you didn't know about Tlingit ways or indigenous ways, you might just be going out, catching the fish, taking them home, teaching your kid how to, you know, get the fish and prepare it and all that. But to do it in this way is so important for being a guest on this land, you know, and just being a person who lives in Tlingit Ani, I think. And it's just, it sounds wonderful. And I also really love the fact that you all are doing this in a way on the weekend where you're not asking for somebody's 12 hours a day, Saturday and Sunday. It's not an overnight. It's not a thing like that. It's like, we're looking for an afternoon and an early part of the evening on Saturday. We're looking for the morning and maybe a little bit of time into the afternoon. And then you can still go home and get ready for the week and prepare, and your kids can get ready for school and all that. But it's really like focused time with your kids. Or I guess you don't even have to have kids to go to this if you don't want to, right? Yeah. You can bring your sister, your uncle, your auntie, whatever it is, right? I mean, I think of it as kids, but really it can be anybody.
Yes. And you could come on your own for sure. I mean, we're not exclusively to families. Individuals are very much welcome to come as well.
Yeah.
Especially our elders, because again, you know, our elders have gone through some exchange, you know, some traumatic experiences, and we want them to come back to that relationship, you know, where they feel like I belong. I'm loving what you're doing. And it's sort of like that stamp of approval, you know, for young people like myself.
Right, right. And I think that's great. It's like, yeah, take your grandma, take your elder, take somebody, because again, it's not a long commitment. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a time, it's a short amount, it's enough time, but it's not too much time. Right. And in terms of maybe somebody who's an elder who needs to take, you know, go to bed early. Well, they're going to be done by 8 o'clock.
Or
right?
Before.
Whenever
they need it. Yeah. And it's a very comfortable space. I just like to give kudos and appreciation to Jesse, who's managing out there, and the Eagle River United Methodist Camp as hosts. It's a beautiful facility, the nonprofit and all the volunteers that make that space just gorgeous and very comfortable. So we'll have a fire raging. Even if it's a rainy day, it's going to be beautiful. And there's a large main hall is where we're going to be based. But they're building actually a new smokehouse on the site, which is looking beautiful. And they also have another smokehouse that was built some years ago. But it's a beautiful facility, very comfortable for folks. And it's ready to be, you know, people can drive up and then walk in, and it's very comfortable.
I love that. Well, this is Juno Afternoon. We're talking about the 4th annual Juno Family Fish Camp. It's a partnership between the UAF Cooperative Extension and Gold Belt Heritage. I'm in the studio with Darren Snyder and Victoria Johnson, and it's happening this Saturday from 3 to 8 and Sunday from 10 to 2 o'clock or so, 2 or 3 o'clock, whenever it ends, right? Whenever it feels like it's a natural end. And you can get more at bit.ly/2024JunoFamilyFishCamp. Is there some other sponsors that you want to shout out or give a thanks to who are part of this?
Well, just the volunteers who over the years have stepped in and helped out. Victoria's husband, John Smith III, excuse me, he has continuously over the years been a primary provider to our community to be teaching about the Tlingit methods for processing fish and so many other things with us as a primary partner and supporter. And
is he one of those people who shows up whenever he's there, right?
He's just the man. He's the man. He takes care of it. He's so many ways, you know, whether it's his truck, his trailer, his boat, and his hands are doing great work all the time.
Those people are so vital to the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you were going to mention one other person.
Doc Goudain, Tommy Jimmy Jr. is our elder who has blessed us with sharing stories and sharing his time over the years now. And so having that perspective that is invaluable, that a Tlingit elder who has grown up in the culture is able to kind of share perspectives. And one other shout out was for our Alaska Experience Camp in July, and the relationship with the land there at the Eagle River camp. Vivian Mork, was able to spend days with us out there and really deepen our relationship to that space and the area of the Eagle River area and the beach and stewarding, dealing with invasive plants and as well as the various ways of interacting with that land. And so she may be out there this weekend if she has that is available. But there are many other people who just help out as individuals.
Oh, don't forget Yaro Vara.
Yes, indeed. Over the years, Yaro Vara has and I apologize for not remembering her Tlingit name.
And Heather.
Evoy. Yeah.
Heather Evoy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that her family can join us. She actually is going to be in Anchorage this.
Bummer.
Not TMI, but wow. So we have just so many beautiful people. And so please do, if you just want to show and share, if this is not just for learners, it's for doers. Anybody wants to go out there and just be part of it and just be in the space and meet some other people and have a nice time doing a really healthy activity. And our goal is to have this thing explode in a good way over the years. A vision would be that everybody who wants in Juneau, while we're here doing this, would be having cases of salmon to come home with and to have over the year. That's our vision, is that this turns into that. Granted, people will be going home with fish this year, but it won't be cases upon cases by any means. But we'll be producing a lot of fish this weekend, and people will be going home with jarred fish and. But we hope to, for partners and potential partners to hear this and to maybe come out yourselves and see what it's about and see how you can help us build this.
Absolutely.
Especially for next year.
Yeah, for next year. Because it'll be the 5th annual. So it's the 4th annual Juno Family Fish Camp. It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. You can get more information at bit.ly/2024JunoFamilyFishCamp. Get yourself registered for that this weekend. Take your family out there. Take yourself out there. And it sounds like it's a place to learn, but also a place to experience, right? Yeah, so I absolutely. Just think that's a wonderful thing. Darren and Victoria, thank you so much. Cheese for coming in today, and I look forward to next time.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next, we're going to talk with CBJ about trucks and stuff that's happening this weekend. But first, Tongass Voices, a series from KTO sharing weekly perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. James Houck has shuttled tourists around town on his bike for 7 years as the owner of Juno Pedicab. It's his retirement job, he says, and he loves running a tourism company that doesn't emit carbon or use fossil fuels.
My name's James P. Houck. I'm a retired Coast Guardsman who lives in his favorite place on Earth. I run a human-powered tourism business. We call them pedicabs, and we take passengers from the docks and the hotels around town, and we bring them into Juneau and show them the best of the best. That's pretty easy to do in such a wonderful place. Hi, everyone. Good to see you all. The great thing about being retired and having a pension is while you're busier than you've ever been in your life, you get to choose how you spend all those hours. I think it's important for them to know that we are doing our level best to accommodate the number of people who want to come and visit, and that if we are saying that we're at capacity, we are at capacity. This is a town that does not boast. It's a town that does not hyperbolize. And I don't really think people have a feel for what their impact is when they pull in here. And I think the city of Juneau is doing a good job of trying to mitigate some of that. You know, we're looking at electrifying these two docks so that the ships don't run their generators all day long while they're sitting here. Well, it's a giant game of dodge 'em, and we smile and we laugh and we sing and we never raise our voices at people. And so far, knock on wood, we have not impacted anyone. We haven't run over anyone's toes. We haven't run into anything. And in 8 years, that's a phenomenal record. But in large crowds, how we get through is we ring our little bell and we sing songs like, joy to the world, all the boys and girls. When the people hear that kind of discord, they're like, what the heck? How could a person sing that badly and be so loud? And they get out of the way in a hurry. And then when I find a spot in the crowd where it looks like I can get away with it, I pull over and I show off our rain chimes. So the rain is captured in the bowl and funneled into the tube, and about every quarter inch of real rain fills the tube all the way to the top. It gets top heavy, leans down to dump its water, and then rings a gong on the rebound. This one is C sharp, the longest ones are F sharp, and the shortest ones are A sharp, forming the chord F sharp major. Now back in 2017, the first day I operated, it probably rained an inch and a half, and I was cruising down this dock and one of them went off. And I'd never seen him before, no one had told me about him. I nearly jumped off my pedicab into the weeds. I looked in the mirror and said, James, you worked from the time you were 12 until you were 18, roofing houses. And then you never worked again until you were 44 because the Coast Guard treated you so well. Why would you pick a job where you had to work? And the next day, I put in an application with Chris McClure to run one of his pedicabs, and he called me up and he said, is this a joke? And I said, what's funny about it? He said, I have never heard of anyone with a master's degree from Princeton wanting to run a pedicab. I said, well, I want to run a pedicab, and I will be out there every day if you give me a job. That's when he told me he married a woman that didn't like Juneau and he needed to get out. 3 weeks later, I wrote him a check, and I had to figure it out from there. I thought that I was going to be running short-run taxi services, and my customers would say, hey, what's this? I'd say, well, I could tell you about that, but I'd have to charge you for the time. They'd say, okay, do it. Tell me about it. So that's how I got in the business of turning this into a tour company. So now, instead of running from the Franklin Dock as fast as I can to get to the Red Dog Saloon, I ride 200 or 300 feet and I stop and I tell a story. I ride another 200 or 300 feet and I stop and I tell a story. I still burn over 4,000 calories a day and can eat whatever the heck I want, but I figured out a way to do it without a battery, without a motor, and be able to do it, I hope, until I'm in my 60s and 70s. So we'll see.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Now, we've been talking about events that you can do this weekend, a fundraiser, a family fish camp, but what about like climbing around an excavator or walking through a city bus or sitting in a police car or anything like that? Well, you can do all of that this weekend and more at what I like to say is trucks and stuff. It sounds like it should be a commercial, Lauren. Yes. But it's this is put on by the CBJ Parks and Rec Department, and Lauren Varelli joins me now in studio. Gunath Cheesh, Ha Yigudi, thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to see you. Summer is happening and summer is finishing up, and you've been in this thing called the Month of Play.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? And what kind of things have been included besides this final event here? But what else have people been doing?
Yeah, lots of stuff all month long. It kicked off at the beginning of August. I think it's our way to say thank you to the community for all their participation throughout the year. And so we give free admission to all our facilities. So you can go swimming at both pools, go skating at the ice arena, go to the field house. All you need is a passport to play, which you can download from our website or pick it up from the main office in City Hall. And that's just your free admission in to the facilities. We had lots of awesome events throughout the month. Like we had the ribbon cutting at Capitol Park at the beginning. We had an event at the Douglas Library and the City Museum. And then the event that everyone is excited about is Trucks and Stuff. Exactly. It's the one that we have. It's probably our biggest event of the year. And okay. It's so much fun. Like, it's very loud.
Yeah.
We do provide earplugs for those that need them. And we actually, I think we started it last year. We do have a quiet hour.
Okay.
So if you are not a big fan of sirens and lots of horns, you will want to come from 1 to 2 p.m. this Saturday.
1 to 2 this Saturday for the quiet hour.
Quiet hour.
Some of those littles, they want to climb around and be inside the trucks, and maybe even some of the olders. I know I'm not the biggest fan of too much sirens.
Yeah.
But I know that like little kids have their ears haven't really been developed yet, right?
Yeah.
But they get around it and it's too loud. And my daughter had that. She couldn't be around loud noises for a couple of years there when she was young.
Mm-hmm. So we have this quiet hour, which a lot of people have really appreciated. It's very nice for staff as well. Mm-hmm. Trucks and Stuff is at Diamond Park. It's in the parking lot of the Aquatic Center. We will have that first bay, that parking space will be full of equipment. Like you said, we have an excavator coming. We have a city bus. We have little mini bobcats and stuff. The troopers are going to be there. We have lots of fun equipment. And then a garbage truck is joining this year.
Oh, fun. So, like the one that like smashes the garbage and does the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like it puts it in there and then sweeps it up. And yo, that would be fun.
Yeah. So I know like my niece is obsessed with the garbage truck.
Yeah.
So it'll be very exciting to have them join us this year. But then for those, the main event where it's going to be loud, that's from 2 to 5 p.m. And that's when CCFR will show up with their sirens. That all off.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a fire truck to sit in or an ambulance, those will be arriving at 2 o'clock. And then obviously the fan favorite, North Star, will be landing a helicopter probably around 2:15, 2:20.
Do you get to get in the helicopter?
Yes. You don't get to fly around.
Right. You don't get to fly because that would take too long to get everybody up and down and up and down. But
yeah.
You get to be in it.
Yes. You get to sit in the helicopter.
Oh, man. I've never even sat in a helicopter before.
You should come.
That would be so – I can't, but I would love to be there.
Yeah.
It sounds really, really wonderful.
Yeah. It's going to be – it's probably one of my favorite events of the whole year. We see a ton of families come through. Everyone's super excited. All the personnel that are working the equipment are there to help families, kids to sit in the equipment and explore and learn and stuff like that. So it's a great family event.
That sounds great. And so Month of Play, you mentioned this, that it's happened. It happens all month, but it's something that is going to continue. So this pass that people can get to get free admission, this is the last big event,
mm-hmm.
but the admission thing is still going on through the end of the month.
Yes. Through August 30th, you get admission, free admission into our facilities. To August 28th, because then on the 30th is our drawing for all the prizes. So all these events.
Oh, there's prizes?
Yeah. All the events throughout the year, the month, you enter a ticket into the drawing, and then we'll have our drawing on the 30th. And we're giving away some awesome prizes for Parks and Rec, like, youth sports registration, pool passes, shelter rentals. Ice time and stuff. So, yeah. So you have until August 28th to take advantage of free admission to the facilities. And then
And then, yeah, it's done. This year, you don't have to submit your passport. Putting the tickets in the drawings to all the activities was your submission. So it's just a cute memento.
Oh, nice.
You've gotten them stamped throughout the month, and kids are a big fan of the stamps. So
I love that. That's so cool. Yeah. What a great idea. And what a great service for the community to be able to get it. Because a lot of times we think about summertime is when admissions go up and prices of food go up and because of the tourism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is really a great gift to the community to be like, hey, there are things you can do that, you know, won't cost you a dime. You can bring your family to things like that. Just sign up for the passport and make it happen and then go to these events. And so this is an ongoing thing that you do every summer? Yeah.
Yes. Every August.
Yeah. Okay. That's so cool. And the other thing I know that is happening this summer, and I think it's wrapping up soon, Walk Southeast. Tell me where we are.
Yeah.
What's the competition like? Who's winning? Do we know? And what do people need to do to sign off on that?
Yeah. Walk Southeast. That also wraps up at the end of August. So the September 1st is the last day to track miles. So if folks that have an app, pretty much just keep on walking to see if you can get to Ketchikan if you haven't already. And then it automatically submits all your miles. But those that have the paper trackers, you'll just want to make sure you submit those to Parks and Recreation before September 3rd.
September 3rd. Okay. Yeah.
So we still have 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's a few more weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. To continue walking. Like I think I'm at 215 miles. So my goal is to hit 250. So
how far is now you're not really walking to Ketchikan, just for those who might be thinking that, because that would be difficult and from Juneau. but it's the idea of how many miles you're walking, right? Yes. So how many miles was it to get to the final destination?
To Ketchikan is 297 miles.
Oh, well, you've got 2 weeks, Lauren.
I know.
And where are you at?
I'm at 215.
215? That's only 70 miles.
I know. I'll
you
try.
You can do it.
Thank you.
Because you can run or walk or you can even, can you bike it? Or is it really,
no,
it's
biking.
Running and
it's all
walking?
Like, yeah.
Okay. So using your body outdoors or wherever you're doing.
Yeah, or on the treadmill.
Because you can do treadmill. Yeah, you can submit treadmill times on there. And if you didn't get to participate in this year, because with only 2 weeks left, it might be a little less time. But it's something that to look forward to next year, because usually in the spring or is it May or so you start talking about that?
Yep. Registration opens in April and then it launches May 1st.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's
I'll definitely be back to talk about it then.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. And is there anything else that we want to mention that's happening? Or are we want to get people out to trucks and stuff?
We definitely want to get people out to trucks and stuff. We're very excited about that. It's just been a busy summer with Parks and Rec. We're wrapping up stuff. Once we wrap up Month of Play and Walk Southeast, I think we got some Clue on the horizon. Other activities, we got a movie planned for the end of September at the pools. So lots of fun stuff coming up this fall.
And remind people, what's the best way to hear about all these things?
You can go to our Facebook page or just the main Parks and Recreation website. We post frequently on Facebook with all the updates. But then also on our homepage, we have all the current registrations, indoor soccer registrations happening. We have men's and women's volleyball about to kick off. It's our biggest league since 2012, which is super exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we have that's about to start. Mount Jumbo Gym is going to be opening up after Labor Day. We are short staffed for staffing for preschool open gym. So if anyone is interested in being a rec aide to help us open up the preschool open gym this fall, it's open from Labor Day until the end of April normally. And it's a program where people can bring their littles and they just can run around. It's a great part-time job. If you have a kid, you can bring your kid there. So yeah, we're definitely looking for some rec aides so we can bring that program open and have it open again. Because normally it's right after Labor Day it opens, but we're going to have to push that until we find some staff. But yeah, lots of other things coming down the pipeline.
Awesome. Well, it's trucks and stuff this Saturday from 2 to 5 or quiet hour from 1 to 2 out at Diamond Park. Of course, you can find out more information on the CBJ Parks and Rec Facebook page or go to juno.org/parks-and-rec or parks-rec.
Yep.
Creation. Got to put the whole recreation word in there or Google it. It'll come up.
The top, yep.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren. It was a pleasure to have you here today. Gwyneth Cheese for coming in. I really appreciate it. Okay, tomorrow night you can join KTOO Interim Managing Director Adeline Baxter for this month's KTOO Office Hours at the Downtown Library from Thursday. Well, it's Thursday. It's tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. Stop by to learn more about our newsroom, share feedback, ask questions about coverage, or just to say hi. That's the KTOO Office Hours with Adeline Baxter tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Downtown Library. We'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, a special version of Chef's Hollow Hollow Talk, hosted by Mexican chef Patty Hinnich. Plus, we'll chat with Search about National Breastfeeding Month and their planned events around that. And we'll preview the Harvest Fair from the Juno Community Garden happening this weekend. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Thanks, and have a fantastic Juno evening.